guys, this is Danielle over at Danielle's S Swiss Bookkeeping. First of all, thank you guys for tuning in. If you jump in anywhere along this video, that's fantastic. Once the video is done being recorded live, it will post to our main Facebook page as a shareable link. Today we're going to be talking about everything that we need to know to get ready to file personal taxes. It is, of course, that time of the year. Nobody wants to talk about it, and nobody wants to file their taxes, but unfortunately, we are bound by some unfortunate rules with CRA. So I'm here to hopefully make your lives a little bit easier when it comes to what you can claim, what you need to keep in mind, and how to get yourself prepared as much as possible. So, as always, we are available as a resource to file personal taxes, sole proprietorship, rental properties, you name it. Our pricing is flat rate guaranteed pricing. It is available on our website at www.daniellesosbookkeeping.com or through our Facebook page. You can find that link. For basic personal taxes, we charge $49.99 plus GST. That number is not $49.99 plus GST plus $2 a slip or, you know, things like that. That's going to be a flat rate pricing that includes all of your slips, donations, medical receipts, etc. Per person. So if we are a household of two, it's going to cost us $49.99 plus GST times two. If we are a rental property owner and we have one rental property, then we are going to bump the rate up to $69.99. That's going to include your personal slips, your donations, your medical expenses, and your rental property for $69.99. So not $49.99 plus $69.99, just $69.99. If you have multiple rental properties and you would like us to do the work of the bookkeeping and allocation of the income and receipts, then we charge $40 an hour from there for those receipts and for the totaling there. And that's dependent on how much work we have to do. So the more organized and totaled everything is, the cheaper it is for you. The last one we have, obviously, is sole proprietorships. So we find ourselves as small business owners, and we are looking to have our tax return done. So our office policy is $125.99 plus GST. That is the rate which includes a one-hour appointment or 1 hour of bookkeeping. If we need to go over that, then we charge it $40 an hour. If we find that we have an excessive amount of receipts and business and we're running through bank statements and credit card statements, then our staff is going to be advising you about our monthly accounting services and how we can cut down the time and energy and money it costs you today to file your taxes by splitting it up over the course of the year. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to ask us. We are here to be a resource for you to make your life a little bit easier. Other big changes I'll talk about quickly is that if you are used to filing taxes in our office, then you are used to me, myself, and I being the tax preparer in our office. Unfortunately and fortunately, thanks to all your guys' ongoing support and encouragement here, we have managed to grow quite big, as well as we have recently purchased another business. So what does that mean for you guys as the consumer? It means that we are going to have four very talented, very wonderful staff members available for sit-down appointments for personal taxes. Myself, I will be working slightly less hours on the personal tax side as I facilitate our corporate clients through their busiest time of the year. And we will have three other tax preparers that are here to help you, as well as, of course, offering drop-off service, which is available to you. And our turnaround for that is anywhere from 4 business days to 7 business days. Other than that, you know where to call, you know where to book, get at it, and let us help you file some taxes. So, now that we've done the selfish plug thing, let's talk about what you guys need to know to file taxes. So, first of all, what you guys need to know is that the e-file desk opens February 18th, which means that we are about 2 weeks from that deadline. Currently, we're a little bit blocked on the CRA side. We are still able to file authorizations and get the process started and access things up until the 8th of February. From the 8th to the 18th, we are going to be completely locked out of CRA, so we will not be able to offer you any services whatsoever. If you would like to book an appointment and you would like to drop off your taxes if you are ready to go, you are absolutely more than welcome to. We will do what we can do, and then we will put you on an e-file wait list. If you make it onto our e-file wait list, then as soon as that tax desk opens on the 18th, we will shoot your return over to CRA, and you will get your tax return in about 2 to 3 weeks. It should be 7 to 10 business days, but let's just put it at 2 weeks just to be careful. Now, let's talk about what we need to do. So, important deadline, like I said, February 18th. What is my filing deadline? My filing deadline is April 30th. And you go, but Danielle, I have a sole proprietorship and I think my filing deadline is June 15th. That is incorrect. Yes, in theory, you definitely have until June 15th, but if you owe taxes, they are going to start calculating interest and penalties as of April 30th. So we want to make ourselves available and be prepared for filing our taxes by that deadline so that we don't end up with any issues in regards to interest and penalties that we don't really need to accrue if we can help it. If you get a refund, which means you are not in a position to owe taxes, you have absolutely no deadline, which means when we get to crunch time at the end of April, we're going to start asking people who has refunds and who has taxes owing. We will do our best to prioritize the clients that have taxes owing so that we can get them in by the deadline within reason. If you bring your tax return to us by the 25th of April and you are expecting it to be done by the end of the month, we will take your tax return, but we make absolutely no promises that it will be done because we want to give consideration for the queue-based service that we offer, which is as our clients come in, we want to make sure that we are helping them in a timely fashion and we are not bumping people up the queue unless we absolutely have to. So those of you that will come in April that will be filing and expecting a refund, as we get to those last 2 weeks of crunch time, we may process your return early into May, which is perfectly fine. It also helps reset the deadline down to a more desirable time frame once that April 30th deadline has passed. If you have any questions about that, please feel free to give our office a shout. Now, what do we need to keep in mind? So I'm going to run through our verified checklist for you guys. Our verified checklist is things that we're going to be expecting from you, things we're going to be checking, and things that need to come into play before we verify and finish up your taxes. So the more information you can give us in advance for those, the better your tax return experience will be. So let's talk about making sure we have all of our tax slips verified. So our job is to go into your CRA site and pull any slips as needed to verify that we do have all those income and expenses slips as much as possible. There are a few things that we will not be able to pull for you. We will not be able to pull tuition slips for you. So if you are a student and you are waiting for a tuition slip, those can be printed from the back end of your institution website. You go into my student portal and there will be tax slips for the 2018-2019 tax year. Other slips we cannot pull for you are union dues. Union dues will be issued from your union. If they have not been issued to you yet, they will come in by the end of February. And if you do not receive one and you believe that you should have one, you need to contact your union. We are able to pull any government-related slips. Now, the last one, of course, that we will try our very best to accommodate for you is things like RRSP slips and investments. Because the RRSP contribution deadline isn't until March 1st, the institutions legally have until the end of March to mail out or send out your information slips, which means if you have your slips from contributions made all year or you have investment portfolio slips otherwise, and you have copies of those yourself, bring them with you to your tax appointment. If you do not have the slips, but you know the amounts for what you contributed to RRSPs, you can obviously bring those totals in and those will work the same. Last year, we ran into the issue where most of the institutions did not post the RRSP contribution slips until April 27th, which made it very difficult for us to go in and pull your RRSP contribution slips and still have your taxes filed on time. Unfortunately, we do not govern the institution. So this one was one of those things that as a collective, the system dropped the ball on everybody last year. So I'm giving you the heads up that if you know the totals of what you contributed, then just bring that with you and that'll save you a little bit of hell. If you're waiting for T3s, T5s, or T5018, which is investments, you will be at the mercy of the institution, unfortunately, until they post those online or until you're mailed your physical copy. If you're mailed your physical copy, bring it over to us and we will do what we can to put that together for you. Next thing we need to talk about is child support and spousal agreements. So we have clients that come every single year that have issues with child support, that have issues with spousal support, claiming eligible dependents, having custody arrangements. Here's the skinny. As a parent, if you are the parent that is paying child support, even if the child lives with you 50-50, you do not get to claim an eligible dependent. The rules have changed. They're cracking down on this. There's no flexibility on this anymore, which means that if you are the parent paying child support, your child support also is not a write-off to you on your tax return, which means you have zero consideration on the parental side when it comes to the benefits from CRA. Okay? if you have custody documents that dictate that you have 50% custody and that there is a one year on, one year off agreement where either of you or both of you guys have decided to swap custody for tax purposes, we can work with that, but we will require an additional letter that states that both parents have agreed to this and that it's signed by both, and then we can submit it to CRA. If that's the case, then we would register the eligible dependent per person per year as dictated. If we are in a position from a divorce and we are receiving or paying spousal support is different than child support. So that means that our spousal support is a write-off on our taxes, but our spousal support received is taxable income. This is your due diligence to claim. If we do see a divorced status on your taxes, we are prompted to ask just to do that extra due diligence, but please bring forward that information as much as possible to make that transition for the tax returns as simple as possible. Installments. If we are making installments, this is a number that we will be able to see online through your CRA account. So that's our due diligence, but obviously if you are making installments throughout the year, just mention it to your tax preparer as well. If you have previous taxes owing or balances that need to get paid, we will inform you about that as well when we go through your CRA site to let you know if any portions of your current tax returns will be held or used to clear up previous balances. Along with that, we now have this law change that allows the provincial governments and the federal governments to put liens on your tax refunds when it comes to paying back overdue student loans. So if you have an overdue student loan that you have defaulted on, that you have not made a payment arrangement on, or you have simply walked away from, we will do our best to inform you if that notification has been placed on your CRA account, because they now trump you getting your tax refund, which means it will go completely and 100% to the government. This will also include future GST rebates as well as Alberta climate change rebates as well. So keeping in mind that if we do need to pay those taxes, we do want to take care of them. Otherwise, our refunds will do so in the meantime. Other things we want to talk about is disability. Over the next little while, I will do another video on disability, but let's talk about the most underutilized category on our tax returns. So we meet with, you know, hundreds of clients every year, thousands of clients every year, and the resounding sound I get back is, I did not know I could claim the disability tax credit. So we want to talk about what that means. If someone in your family is disabled, has a disability, may be eligible for a disability, or you are unsure if they qualify, you need to talk to your tax preparer. We are happy to be resources for you. We can facilitate the applications for you. We can explain to you the processes involved, and you can drop it back off to us and we will send it off to CRA on your behalf as well. We could also help with backdating the disability tax credit, as well as making sure that CRA does what they're supposed to, which is going back and recalculating years if you qualified from years previously that you didn't know you could claim for. Other things we need to talk about there is for ourselves and for our children. So if you have someone in your family, children that are eligible for it, the worst thing you can do is ask, right? The best thing they say is yes, the worst thing they say is no. It's always worth the application, it's always worth asking the question, so please feel free to get in touch with us if you have questions about whether or not someone in your family is eligible. With that being said, if we have extra expenses related to disabilities, when it comes to education, when it comes to learning resources, we are able to claim those under the dependent schedules and under our own medical expenses. If we have things like tutors, private institutions, extra resources, basically any out-of-pocket costs. So make sure that we are prepared to come up with a letter from our doctor if we need to verify that we need those for therapy and for other purposes. You can get a hold of, you know, just write something, get your doctor to sign off on it, no questions asked. Other than that, normal child arts and fitness amounts will not qualify. They do not qualify as of last year, which means all of 2017 tax returns did not have any child arts and fitness credits applied to them. As a parent myself, no, I do not agree with this, but unfortunately that's the truth. So until we know that they're going to bring it back, which we have no guarantees of, unfortunately all of those childcare expenses, summer camps, fitness credits, all of that does not qualify. When we talk about students here, let's talk about student tuition credits. Those are something we can pull online. So if you have carry forward amounts that have been held from previous years and you do not have your regular tax return from the previous year to bring in with you, we can pull those from your CRA site. Home buyers repayments. if you chose to take out your RSPs to buy a home, you may have a home buyer's tax, home buyer's repayment. So home buyer's repayment is they basically calculate out the amount that you took out and they amortize it back over a number of years for you to put your money back in your RSPs. You are not legally bound to an obligation to put your money back in your RSPs, which means that when we see an RSP home buyer's repayment, we are going to have the conversation with you about whether or not you want to contribute back to your RSPs, or if you do not, they just add it to your taxable income. A couple hundred dollars at a piece isn't going to make or break anything, but we can talk about that when we come to it, when we do your taxes. The other one that falls into the same category is the lifelong learning program. So when we want to do repayments, when we've taken out RSPs to go to school, then again, same thing as we're going to go back and we're going to have to repay those back to our RSPs. If we choose not to, it gets added to our taxable income. RSP limits, we're definitely going to take a peek at that from our CRA site, so we are there to help you with that. We'll pull all that information so we can make sure that your returns are complete as possible. Over contributions on RSPs, if we find ourselves in this boat, it is a particularly unpleasant experience to deal with this, but we are here to help. So if you find in any regard that you have over-contributed, or we find that you have over-contributed, we are going to advise you, provide you the form that you need in order to file with the government to make it right. Long story short, over-contributions to RSPs need to be reclaimed and a little bit of taxes owing will be calculated and sent to you as a tax bill, which you will be responsible for paying. Family benefits account. So if we had a recalculation of marital status partway through the year, and we owe back our child tax benefits, that is something that will be taken out of current child tax benefits. In some extreme cases, your full refund can be used to repay that. But more likely than not, they're just going to eat your current child tax benefit, GST rebates and Alberta climate change rebates to make that come down to zero. Carry forwards. If we have carry forward amounts such as donations, out of home office expenses, things like that, those are things that do not show up on your CRA site. So you need to either bring us in a copy of your previous tax return, or if we've done it for you in the past, we already have that information. But if not, try as much as possible to bring in your previous tax return so that we can get all of that information and nothing is missed. Big changes again as of last year, we'll go through this a little bit too, is if you sold your primary residence, it is now your financial obligation to disclose that to the government. That does not mean that we're going to pay tax on it. That does not mean we're going to be penalized on it. All that means is that we have to declare it. So what we need from you is we need to know the purchase date and the purchase price. We need to know the sale date and the sale price. We also need to know if at any point you did not live in the residence. We also need to know at some point if it became a rental property or any other investment purposes going through that. You are responsible for telling us if you have sold that primary residence in the year. Obviously, updating your address is very important as well. It's about an $8,000 fine if you do not disclose the sale of your primary residence now. Your primary residence has to have been lived in for 6 of the last 12 months, with some exceptions. So obviously try not to cheat the system. This one came into effect because we have a rise of house flippers. For good and for bad, there were not rules before. Now there are. So if we are caught, we need to make sure that we are fessing up and we are declaring that on our tax returns. Same thing as if we bought a house for the first time, then we will qualify for the first time home buyer's amount. First time home buyer's amount cannot be split between spouses and can only be claimed by one spouse per year. And you are technically only allowed to claim it once. If you do qualify and you bought a house this year, what we are going to need from you is we are going to need the year, the bill of sale, basically the agreement that says that it has your name on it and that you did purchase a house. It's a $5,000 tax credit, which works out to $750 dollar for dollar on your refund back in your pocket. This is an incredibly important one and we don't want to miss it, but we also want to make sure we have our proof because this is one of those categories that's going to be at a higher eligibility for an audit, mostly because it's a large tax credit and they want to make sure that you are actually able to claim the amount that you are saying. A couple more tidbits that we are allowed to claim and that often get missed are going to be things like premiums on our private healthcare plans. If you pay into anything outside of work for benefits, when it comes to medical, when it comes to long-term, short-term disability, things like that, those go on your taxes. However, personal life insurance premiums do not get included in that category and do not get claimed on your taxes. Any out-of-pocket medical expenses as well, so anything that you incurred a fee for over and above what your insurance company has reimbursed you for is eligible to be written off on your taxes as well. Yes, there are thresholds. There are definitely minimums based on your income. If you have any questions about that, please reach out to us and we will look at your particular history and advise you further on whether or not it's worth it for you to put medical expenses together for us. But based on my opinion and what I've seen over the last few years, it's always worth it to put together. The worst we're going to say is it doesn't do you any benefit. But if it does do you benefit, it's one less back and forth we have to do, and it just sets you up to get the best possible refund. Next one we want to look at is splitting pensions. So last year and the year before, there was some buzzwords around income splitting. As of right now, the only true income splitting that we have available to us is pension split. So pension splits involved when one or both people have pensionable income. So this is mostly for seniors. So this is going to come into effect when we want to normalize out the return, get the overall best picture from the two returns. This is our process to do, so you don't need to do anything else. But it's something to ask your tax preparer about if you're unsure if you qualify. If you have donations, private or political, you need to make sure that we have those amounts. You can now claim super credits, which means you can add up donations and credits for multiple years and get a bigger bang for your buck. Anything valued at over $200 per year is always going to give you a better tax credit on those donations. As with any category, make sure that you have all the proof and all of your charitable donation slips if the government were to ask you for them. We talked about extra disability expenses. So again, if there's just anything else that goes into having a disability, you want to make sure that those numbers are included, as well as childcare costs. Yes, there are thresholds. They are large thresholds, but every once in a while we will hit a threshold and we will not receive dollar for dollar credit for all of what we paid into childcare. It is still worth it and always 100% worth it for you to give us those expenses so we can make sure you're getting the best bang for your buck. For those of you using day home providers for your childcare, I cannot hammer this enough. It is your day home's legal responsibility to write their full name and their SIN number on your tax slip. If they do not, go back to them. For all my day home moms that are listening to this talk, it is your legal responsibility to put your name and your SIN number on the forms. We do not like disclosing our SIN number. We do not do it unless we absolutely have to. You absolutely have to. All that's going to happen is that as the parent claiming the childcare fees, if the person's name and SIN number is not disclosed on the slip, CRA will deny the parents the right to write off the expense. It is an accountability tool that makes sure that day home providers are claiming their income, but day home providers, you are screwing your parents over if you do not include your name and your SIN number on the slip. So please, please do so for your clients. It is a big help and it does make a huge difference. Next thing we're going to talk about is some new and improved benefits that have kicked in either last year or this year that you guys need to be aware of. As of right now, we still have the Home Accessibility Tax Credit. The Home Accessibility Tax Credit is a scaled tax credit up to and including $10,000 worth of write-offs to make your home more disability accessible, which means that if you need to build a wheelchair ramp, you need to build a chairlift, you need to put in better things into your bathroom, your kitchen, anything like that. Those can be eligible expenses that are submitted to CRA, so we can get a little bit of extra credit on our taxes. The child tax benefit is now the Canada Child Benefit, which means that it is a compilation of what we used to get for child tax benefit and the, there's no national child care supplements or the universal child care benefit anymore. So it's all Canada tax benefit. It's been recalculated as of last year, which means that those numbers that you're used to getting will be a little bit different. They do scale downwards based on the age of the child, and they go up and down based on our household income. Northern residence deductions. So this is a big one. All of you lovely people working outside of town, if you are working more than 6 months and you've lived on a permanent basis in a northern or intermediate zone, you are entitled to a daily amount on your taxes called Northern Living Allowance. What do I need to qualify? What do I need to prove it? You need to have either an employment contract that dictates that you are out of town for X amount of period, or, and, you need house bills, utility bills, lease agreements, things like that, that validate that you did pay expenses to live up north. If you're looking for a full list of what territories and areas are eligible, there are over 80 of them that are eligible in some form. You would be surprised. If you have any questions, just shoot us a message and we're happy to give you the list. You can also Google Northern Living Allowance Zones and it will bring up both lists A, B, and C for you guys to take a peek at. And then all you have to do is give us a heads up that you do qualify and we'll get to work putting that on your tax return. Last one is eligible education school care program credit. This is the credit that you get if you are a teacher and you pay out of pocket for your own supplies. This is eligible up to $1,000 in supplies, which means you're going to get 15% of that as a tax credit, which is $150 worth of credit. And you may go, oh my God, that's not really worth it. At the end of the day, $150 less is $150 less. So if you are a teacher and you have spent money on those expenses, make sure that you do claim them on your tax return. Other things that we need to talk about really quickly are going to be things like students. So let's go back to students. We can do transfers of our student credits to our parents or to our spouses up to a maximum of $5,000 per year for the federal and provincial amounts. If you wish to transfer your tax credits to someone else, you just need to let us know and we can facilitate that easily enough for you. There is no longer credit for individual books and supplies for schooling. It is all automated now. So when we enter your T2202, which is your eligible tuition form, we will pull all those numbers in automatically for you and that will inflate your carry forward tax credits accordingly. You can still claim your U-Pass if you have transportation costs and things like that. You absolutely can claim those. So make sure that you do bring those to us. You can also claim interest paid on student loans. So you will get a slip from the government if you have paid back your student loans in the last year. The portion that is interest, you do get to write off on your taxes. Childcare expenses, if we are in school, totally eligible as well. Just make sure we bring all the proper documentation. Other than that, that's kind of the big, big stuff. Union dues, things like that, like I said, are definitely going to be available through your union. Your tax slips are available through your My Client portal at whatever institution you are attending. So every year when we get ready to file taxes, like I said, our mission is definitely to make your life as easy as possible. So that's the list of some of the things that you definitely need to keep in mind when you're filing your taxes. As I said, this video will continue to be live for you as a resource, and please feel free to shoot us a message, leave a comment, anything like that. If we can be of service and help you beforehand, we are here to help. We are an education-based accounting firm, which means that we take what goes into your tax return and what you are eligible for very seriously, which means use us and abuse us, and we will help cut down your tax bill or increase your refund. If you have any questions about whether you are eligible for any programs, just shoot us a message. Other than that, like I said, the filing opening day is February 18th. We do take pre-appointments, which means we have appointments this week and next week available. And our satellite office is available on the northeast end of the city as well as our main office on the south side of the city. So if you guys have any questions, shoot us a message. Otherwise, you can get a hold of us at 587-754-2910. And like I said, we are accepting new clients all the time as well as repeat clients. We're happy to welcome you guys back and we hope to talk to you guys soon. Thanks! Thank you.